I'd rather have one, Jesus Christ, than have 232 that don't know what's going on. But if we just have the Lord here, we'll all be all right. If you've got a copy of God's Word this morning, turn with me to the book of Mark, chapter number 5 this morning. Before I start preaching, and I just want to talk just for a few minutes. Every one of you are dealing with something today. I almost noticed it, I guess, more pronounced in our prayer circle. And for those that don't know, if you come in, you probably wonder where all 30 or 40 of us come from all at once. If you're already seated in here and there's a huge influx of people, we're in a prayer circle just adjacent to the church sanctuary, the old fellowship hall. We're over there in prayer circle. But as I started looking around the prayer circle this morning, and immediately to my left, it starts with prayer request after prayer request. You said, everybody sharing something? No. They're not really sharing them, but they have them. And I understand the need on man's heart. And I started right beside me, I think, with Brother Kenny, and just go right around there. And he's praying for family members. And Brother Brian's mama's in the hospital. And then this one's got this problem. That one's got that problem. Every one of you, I promise you, every one of you right now, and I'm not trying to get you to think about it to bring you down, okay? Don't think that. Don't let the devil do that to you. But every one of you got something that you consider to be a major issue in your life right now. Right now, at this very juncture, right now, at this very place in time, you've got some kind of an issue that you contend with. It's there when you get up in the morning. You pray through it. You push through it. You go on down the line. I've got my own. A lot of yours are mine, but I have my own. I have my own cross to bear, and I have my own issues in which to deal with. For the lady that we'll read about today, it's the little lady that the Bible said that she had an issue. Her issue just happened to be an issue of blood. And I'll show you all this in the scripture by both taking you back to the book of Leviticus, and I'll show you here in the book of Mark. But she had an issue. So I challenge you today. I want you to think about your issue, but I don't want you to be burdened by your issue. I want you to reflect on your issue. It could be heartbrokenness. It could be some type of an infirmity in the flesh. You could be dealing with a new test, a new diagnosis that's just come about. It could be a job loss. It could be any number of a million different things. They could be spiritual battles. You might be dealing with a physical issue. It could be financial. It could be any different things. But today, the simplicity of this message will probably shock you. Because on Wednesday nights, we're doing some things a little different here. It's a doctrinal study. I'm using big words. I'm not using big words to confound anybody because I just used a big word about one time. Ain't that right? I tell you the study of this, and I'll tell you what that word is. And that's the last time generally that I will use that word, whether it be hermeneutics or eschatology or soteriology or any of the other apologetics, or anything, whatever the big word is. But I'm not trying to confuse anybody. I just want you to hear me this morning. The simplicity of this message is that you've all got an issue. I promise you, you've got an issue. I want to present somebody to you this morning that can help you with it. Like I said, I want you to think about it. I want you to reflect on what my issue is because you need to purpose it. Melissa, you need that in your heart. You need to know what you're facing with. And you need to know what you're dealing with. And then you need to hear what I'm about to tell you. Somebody can help you. You said, Pastor, you're going to bear the burdens of many today. It's not me. I barely can take care of self. But I know one that can. Amen. The kids used to sing a song, I can't take a heart that's broken and make it whole again. Go ahead, Preston. You want to sing it? You're good? But I know a man who can. Amen. I can't put your marriage back together, but I know a man who can. I can't come by and give you the child in the womb that you seek, but I know a man that can. I don't know what it is. I don't know. I look back through there, and I know you've got problems. I know you've faced things. Jeanette, honey, I can't understand the depth of your bereavement. I can't, but God does, and He knows that. I've asked Macy to stay at the piano because I want her to sing this song. It's a Nicole C. Mullins song. The song is entitled One Touch. Brother Kenny, when you got saved, how many times was it? Was it 50, was it a 12-step process to spiritual maturation that finally got you to the point of salvation? It was one touch. He come by where you were at, and it was one time. He passed by where you were at one time. That's all that it takes. For the lady that we'll read about, I want to read in reverence the scriptures that I will be using today, because I want you then to hear the song. So I would invite you to stand and give reverence to the reading of God's word. We'll be in the book of Mark. If you call yourself a visitor, I trust and pray that somebody's already made you feel welcome. I see a few faces, but Brother Amos, you're not a visitor, son. You're one of us. And if you don't have a home church, you're probably looking for one right now. Come over here and join me and Gwen and Kenny and all the other old preachers. Not that you're old, but come over here and join us, brother. We'll treat you so many ways you have to, like one of them. We'll send you to prison or something. Brother Chris is preaching this morning. You pray for him. He's in at Knobs Baptist Church, and he will be leaving Brother Key and Brother Shue going to Florida tomorrow on a week-long mission trip to the juvenile lockup down there to hopefully win some souls to Christ. So there's a work to be done. But in the scriptures in Mark chapter number 5, you'll know the story. The Lord is on his way to Jairus' house. He's going to go over there and touch his daughter. She's 12 years old. To me, there's no coincidence with God. I started to say, is there any coincidence? But I just answer my own question. About the time that Jairus' daughter is born, this woman started her monthly cycle. Let's just be honest and tell it what it is. She's got an issue of blood. And for 12 years, it's not staunched. It's not stopped. She's anemic. She's weak. According to the book of Leviticus, I'll just read you one verse. You stay with me. It's 15th book of Leviticus. The Bible said that if any woman have an issue of her blood many days out of the time of her separation, or if it run beyond the time of her separation, all the days of the issue of her uncleanness shall be the days of her separation. She shall be declared unclean. She's unclean for 12 years. The Bible then picks up the reading of Jesus is on his way going to Jairus' house. And in verse number 25, we take up the reading, and it said, a certain woman which had an issue of blood, 12 years, had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. What faith that woman had. Can you imagine? And we'll get down there in a minute. But can you imagine the people that was, the Bible says, thronging him. The people bumping into him. And he's walking through the crowd. And as he's walking through there, it's close quarters. But nobody's being touched. Everybody's being touched because he's bouncing off of them. He's brushing up against them. Maybe his cloak is just brushing by them. Maybe the garment just passing by. But nobody's being affected. They're all touched. They're all around him, but nobody's being touched. You get what I'm saying? Nobody's being touched. This woman was touched. She touched him, and in a result, got a touch. She just slips up behind him and touched the hem of his garment. The latter part of 27, and touched his garment. And she said, if I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately, knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press or the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? In other words, Lord, you see this crowd. You see all these people, and you're asking us, who touched you? How in the world could we know what you're even talking about? He said, wait a minute, somebody touched me. Look what it says. And he looked around about to her, to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him. and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Brother Amos, ask God to bless our scripture if you don't mind. Good to have you and Miss Iris here today. Amen.
Been ostracized for 12 years. I'm used to being alone. Spent everything I had and now it's gone. I'm used to being put down. My issues tell it all. My only hope is anchored in this fall. If I could just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'd be made whole. If I could just press my way through this madness, his love would heal my soul. So many people calling, how could he ever know that just a brush of him would stop the flow? If he knew, would he rebuke me or shame me to the crowd? Well, I'm desperate cause it's never or it's now. If I could just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'd be made whole. If I could just press my way through this madness, his love would heal my soul. And then suddenly he turned around. He said, somebody has unleashed my power. Well, frightened and embarrassed, I bowed. You see, I told him all my troubles and how I had to touch the hem of his garment, and I know I've been made whole. And how
every issue kept you away from every Christmas get-together that your family had for the last 12 years. What if your issue kept you from church for the last 12 years? You said, is that even biblical? It's biblical. Because when I took you back to the book of Leviticus, the Bible picked up, I just read your one verse. The Bible's told us in the chapter 15 of the book of Leviticus, in verse number 19 is where the actual passage starts out, that if a woman has an issue, and that her issue is in the flesh, and it be the blood, she shall be put apart 7 days, and whosoever touches her shall be unclean even until evening. And everything that she lieth upon in her separation shall be unclean. Everything that she sitteth upon is unclean. And whosoever toucheth her bed shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean even until even. And whosoever toucheth anything that she sat upon shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water, and he shall be unclean until even. And if it be on her bed or anything else, it goes on and on and on. But it says that she shall be separated and declared unclean. Now, leprosy in the olden Bible was treated much of the same way. Leprosy in the old Bible is a picture in the New Testament scripture is that of a being a picture or a type of sin. Now, sin does separate. Sin separates us from those that we would normally associate with. And a lot of times it's done in a manner that you don't even know that it's happening. It's the teenager that'll go in the room and slam the door. Why? Because they got in trouble for some reason. And because of that trouble that they got into, there was a firm daddy somewhere that put down the parental hand of discipline on him. He didn't consent to whatever that it was. And he put his hand down firm on whatever the discipline was, and that teenager just bows up, bucks up, goes into a room and slams the door and says, I'll just go back here and pout for just a little while. Sin separates you. But on the same hand, that whenever you break fellowship with God, it's because you have sinned. It's not because God stopped loving you. It's not because God thought less of you. It's not because God's mad at you. The Bible said, behold, or take notice of the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. Neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. He says, but your iniquities, your sin is what it is that has separated between you and your God, that he won't hear you. And because of that, sin drives a wedge between you and the fellowship of your heavenly Father. And I'm telling you what, that issue that is there before us today, it's ever present in biblical time, but it's ever present before us today. I want you to see these things today. Sin not only separates us, but it silences us. Why? Because we can't talk to God. We have no access with God once we sin because of that separation between us and God. And if you no longer speak about it, if a preacher won't preach against some kind of sin, Brother Kenny, he's probably messed up in it himself. But it'll cause a man to silence against the things that should be spoke out against. It'll cause you to just kind of shut up inside. And I don't know if sin will do all that, but faith will embolden you. Faith will be the one that sets you free. Faith was the one, the part of this little lady that says, I know I'm not supposed to be in the crowd. As the songwriter had written, been ostracized for 12 years. She's not supposed to be in that crowd. She's not supposed to be there. She's not supposed to go to the well and draw water at the same time everybody else does. Why, Brother Kenny? Because she's declared unclean. But faith says that Jesus is coming by. Faith says, if I can get to him, I don't care what other people think. I don't care what other people care. I can care less what they think of me. But Scott, I've just got to get to him. And if I can get to him, I know then that all the naysayers and all the scoffers and the mockers are going to have to just back up away from me, because once he touches me, then I am no longer unclean, and he's probably going to just say, go about and do what you've been doing. Most of the time, we'll find out when he does cleanse somebody, Brother John, what does he usually tell them to do? He'll say, go and show yourself to the priest. Get your declaration of uncleanness taken care of. But you know what, Brother John? He had the ability right then and there, because he is the great high priest. Amen. That lady comes in with her issue. You come in with yours. She goes to the Lord. What are you going to do with yours? Are you going to yoke back up with it? Are you going to take it with you? I'm telling you, faith emboldens you to get through the crowd. Faith emboldens you to come before God Almighty. You said, but yeah, but I'm telling you, I'm embarrassed to even confess what's bothering me. I don't want to tell him what my issue is. He already knows. He already knows your issue. You said, yeah, but it's hard to get that off my tongue. I'll put it in my heart, but I surely don't want to go up there and tell anybody about it. Go tell God about it. We're not into Catholicism here. You don't have to come up here and tell me anything. Brother Kenny, have you ever gotten that? Said, tell me everything you ever did. I don't do that. I've never done that. When somebody comes to the altar, I say, you pour your heart out to God. You talk to God about it. He's the one that can heal. He's the one that can touch. He's the one that can forgive. It's not me or any of these other preachers across the front of the church. Faith emboldens you. Faith empowers you to reach out. It motivates a person to actually do something about their sin. Do something about their problem. I'm probably as hard-headed as anybody I know. You watched me for years dealing with that atrial fibrillation, Brother Tim. It got to a point where everybody said, when are you going to do something about that? I said, I will eventually. I will eventually. But, brother, it was only when I finally broke down and went to the doctor. We were out the Outer Banks, and I didn't get out. That was one day at the beach. I didn't even get out of bed, and I ain't got but 6 or 7 days down there. I try to squeeze everything I can in during that little window because I don't get many vacations. I want to enjoy it. But there was one day, Brother Gwen, I didn't even hardly get out of the bed, maybe to go eat and go lay back down. I didn't have any energy. Miss Cindy said, when we get home, you're going to the doctor. And I said, yes, ma'am. Went to the doctor and they did the cardiac cath and said, you don't have any blockages. Well, they said, you got a blockage. We're going to put a stent in. Then they got in there and didn't have to do the stent. She said, but the whole time I was working in your heart looking to see if I got to put a stent in. She said, you stayed in AFib the whole time. You need to get that fixed. I said, I'm already on the calendar. You said, what's this all about? I had to realize that I needed some help. I had to get to the point of finally going to the physician. I could have still been limping through it, Brother Kenny, but I'm going to be honest with you. When that doctor did that work, bless God, I started feeling good immediately. And I'm telling you what, when God saved my soul and when God touches your condition and he visits your issue, whatever your issue is, Brother John, he doesn't take it from here in 9 months down the road or 1,000 days down the road or some 12-step process. He fixes it immediately. The Bible said that lady immediately, the blood was staunched and it stopped the problem that she had experienced for 12 long years. I want to give you 3 quick things and then we're getting out of here this morning. Sin will defeat you. It'll cause depression. It'll cause desperation on your part. But faith's going to give you the healing. Faith will cause holiness in your life. It'll give you hope beyond that you've ever had. In verse number 43, the Bible said, I said 43. I've took my scripture and the reason I said verse number 43, I'm sorry because I'm in the book of Luke. Go there for a minute and we'll read along with it because I took the scriptures out of Mark chapter number 5, but also out of Luke chapter number 8. And I was reading the parallel scripture. They're synoptic gospels. They're one and the same because it's the same story. But I don't know. I pinned my Bible up to Mark, but then I'm taking my scriptures out of Luke. But anyway, it's the same story, the same woman, the same Jesus, the same manifestation of the Holy Spirit of God. But in verse number 43, I guess you would have to go back and say verse number 25 if you want to flip back and forth. The Bible said that there was a woman in verse number 43 having an issue of blood 12 years, had spent all her living upon physicians. And neither could be healed of any. This woman was defiled. Let me tell you really quickly what defilement is. It just simply meant that she was dirty. She was declared unclean. She had a problem. She couldn't help it. It wasn't her fault. Bless God, every one of us in this church today have been defiled by sin. It's not a problem that you got, that you got in. You say, well, what happened to me? Bless God, you were born. If you're born into this world, you're born into a world of iniquity. You're born into sin. And when you get to heaven, bless God, you can thank Adam for that because in the original sin, Adam first did sin and then sin by death by sin was passed upon all men for all have sinned. And with God, that sin, we are defiled. And that sinful nature of man, it leaves us destitute. It leaves us barren of soul. Brother, I like to come in and when Brother Scott says, turn to this page, I like to feel something nudge me. Miss Becky, I want to feel something when we sing those songs. I want to feel something whenever Brother Kenny or Brother Chris or Brother Gwen or somebody says, open your Bible. I want to feel the power of God come into my life. Right then and there, I want to feel something from God. If I've got all these issues carrying around, probably not going to get a whole lot. Why? Because I'm not willing to let my issue be taken care of by the Master. I'm not willing to let God take care of the issue at hand. And I'm telling you what, it'll defile us. It'll leave us feeling unclean. It'll leave us desperate. It'll leave us like the lady that had the issue here in this fifth chapter of the book of Mark, or over in the ninth chapter, eighth chapter of the book of Luke. Yeah, she has problems. You've got problems. She found a problem solver. Have you found the problem solver? I'm just being honest with you this morning, BJ. We've all got problems. I told you to think about your issue, but don't dwell on it. If you dwell on it, you'll start to let that thing rise up. And I don't want to stay in a position of always looking back at my sin. There's a reason that my windshield in my car is about this wide, and that rear view mirror, Brother Gwen, is only about this big. Why? Because I'm not supposed to drive down the road looking in that little square piece of looking glass. I'm supposed to drive forward in life looking through the windshield, see where I'm going, Brother Tim. If I constantly look up there, I'll soon lose sight of where I'm going. I want you to realize that you've got an issue. I want you to glance at it once in a while and think about it. But then I want you to take it to God and let Him get that thing fixed once and for all, so that immediately it'll be staunched, it'll be fixed. This woman had a dilemma. She's just like the rest of us. You've got your own set of dilemmas. I got mine. She's got her problems. You've got yours. Then we go on down. I want you to see as we move beyond the 43rd verse. I'm sorry I'm messing y'all up. I didn't realize I had done that. I'll go back to Mark. But anyway, the Bible said that she had suffered many things at the hands of a physician. But when she heard of Jesus, well, how am I going to hear about Him? You're here today. You're here today. I have a hard time believing, Brother Kenny, that Wilkes County, there's still homes that's never heard Jesus. I find that hard, but I'm finding that's true. How is that even possible? Brother John, when you went over to Ghana, I can imagine that you would set up in some dirt mud camp somewhere in those little adobe type houses and find people that's never heard about Jesus. But in Wilkes County, North Carolina, how in the world is it even possible that somebody doesn't know how wonderful that Jesus is? How is it even possible, Brother Gwen, as we taught in our Sunday school lesson this morning, Brother Kenny, how in the world is it possible that somebody in Wilkes County doesn't know about the love of God? But Nick, they do. They're out there. Just a few weeks ago, I did a funeral for a family. The whole family, nobody in the whole place knew about Jesus. That's hard for me to fathom. It's hard for me to come to grips with. But I want you to know that once she heard of Jesus, look, the Bible said, but when she had heard of Jesus, in verse number 27, she came in the press behind and touched the hem of His garment, touched His garment. Can I just tell you today, move beyond your circumstance. Move beyond your own dilemma. Move beyond your problem. Yeah, it's personal. Yeah, nobody may know it but you. It might be between Scott and the Lord, but I'm telling you, the Lord knows it. Scott knows it. It's there when Scott goes to bed at night. It's there when Scott gets up in the morning. Brother Gary, it's there. Brother Gary, you're a big brawny man. You've worked your whole life. You want to go and do something. You want to provide for your family, but right now your body's not letting you do that. That's an issue. I'd say it's a serious issue, and I could go through every single one of your lives, and I can tell you some of your issues and some of your dilemmas and some of your circumstances, some of the things that you face every day. But I'm telling you what, there is a problem solver, and His name is Jesus, but you've got to push through and get to Him. You've got to have not only the dilemma confronted, but you've got to have the determination to get to Jesus and get the thing fixed. Amen. If you're not determined, you say, well, if He wants to touch me, He'll come to me. That's not what... Wait a minute. Is that what she did? Is that what happened? You say, well, I can show you in the Bible where He went to a lot of people. He did go to people. He must needs go to Samaria. Why? Because there's somebody there. But what happened is that lady of Samaria come to the well. Why? He put Himself right where He needed to be because that's where she's coming. Amen. But she still come to Him. He put Himself in a position to be approachable. Do you have determination? No, I don't know, preacher. I really don't know if He can help me with what I've got. I don't know if He can help me with what I'm dealing with. He can help you. Amen. He can help you, I promise you. He can help you. He can take a little lady that's been menstruating for 12 years. 12 years. And all she does is come up behind Him and just touch the garment. What power that man has. Brother Kenny, what power that man called Jesus had. For 30 years, brother, he just worked. Is this not the carpenter? Brother, he just worked and hammered and sawed and drove pegs and he just worked. But those last 3.5 years, brother, when he started his earthly ministry, just the fame and the name that Jesus is coming through here, people were coming out of the woodwork. Man, I got to get to him. I'm sick of living this way. I'm sick of being destitute. I'm sick of staying depressed. I'm sick of dealing with this. And when you finally get sick of something, you'll fix it. You say, but I can't fix it. You'll come to the one that can. This woman was broke. You said broke, yeah? Look what it said. It said she had spent all. The Bible said in the latter part of 26, where I opened up in Mark chapter number 5, verse number 26, the Bible said she spent all. She was broke. But she was also broken. Everybody making fun of her. She's an outcast. Like Macy sang in that song, she'd been ostracized, put out. Wasn't able to go to the birthday parties, the festivities in town. Under the Jewish, if there was some type of a Jewish festival, she wouldn't be able to be there. Feast of Passover, she wouldn't be able to get right in there with everybody else. The Feast of First Fruit, she wouldn't be able to get in there with everybody else. People bring their wave offering, she couldn't come in there and bring anything. Why? Because she couldn't be with them all. Brother, how about this? What's the year? 2019. Go back to 2007. I ain't seen none of y'all since 2007. Why? Because I couldn't be around you. 12 years I've been outcast. 12 years I couldn't be apart. You don't think that would bear on somebody's mind? You don't think that would have a weighty issue in your heart to deal with? I think that it would. However, not only was she broke, not only was she broken, but this lady was believing. She just simply said in her heart's mind, if I can just get to it. Look at verse number 28. I'm not making this up. She said that if I may just touch his clothes, if I could just get to him, if I can just reach to him, I will be whole. She didn't say, if I may touch. How about this? It didn't say, if I shall touch, I may be whole, or I might be whole. She said, if I may touch him, I shall be whole. She had her faith in the right place. I'm going down beyond that now. I'm back over here in Luke for whatever reason. In chapter number 8, I'm going to read 45 through 48. The Bible said, Jesus said, who touched me? Listen, it's the same scripture. There's no kind of problems with the scripture. It's two perspectives. This is the Luke physician writing here versus Mark. And it, Jesus said, who touched me? When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude throng thee, impress thee, and thou sayest, who touched me? And Jesus said, somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. And the woman saw that she was not hid. She came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him. And how that she had was healed immediately. And he said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. I want you to see this. And I want somebody right now at the very end of this service. You said we're already there at the end. We're right against the door of the altar being open. We're right against the door of Miss Macy coming to sing the same song yet again. But I want you to see this. that woman in verses number 45 through 48, she got total deliverance. And that's what I want to show you today. You can get deliverance. It's not going to bring your loved one back. It's not going to take out this or that. You say, well, it has before. Ask Brother Johnny Ward if it can't happen immediately. They took Brother Johnny in, shaved his chest, and said, we're going to do open heart surgery. You ever seen that purple dot they put on there? Some of you nurses know what I'm talking about. They know exactly where they're cutting, brother. Why? Because they're getting ready to do a delicate heart surgery. They said, we better go get another look. Bless God in the meantime. He called for the elders of the church, said, anoint me and pray over me. Brother Tim, they took another picture and they said, that blockage is gone. We don't even know what you're talking about. We can't even find it anymore. Bless God, we got a great physician that was doing heart transplants long before modern medicine. And I'm saying today that if you'll get in touch with God and come up and touch Him and let Him touch you, you can be delivered immediately. Or do you want to stay just like you always do? Defeated, discouraged, depressed, ostracized, cast out, forsaken, alone. I don't want to feel any of those things. When I come home from work, I want to feel love in my household. If I come into my household, Tam, and I don't feel love, something's wrong between me and Mama. Some have come in here and you just don't feel love. I'll tell you what, something's wrong between you and God. Something's wrong between you and your God. If you come in here, you don't feel something. You say, well, how am I going to get it fixed? You're going to come up here. Miss Macy, come back to the piano yet again. Where did Miss Macy? She's had to leave. I'm sorry. Where's my piano player? Miss Debbie, honey, just come over here and play something softly. I forgot that she had to leave. Macy, Debbie, honey, just play something softly all over the house today. I want you to stand on your feet. The Lord brought us back to probably one of the simplest messages. It's just a simple message of the gospel that Jesus Christ is the good news. He is the help. You say, well, take us back to those scriptures. I will get there. But today he's took me to something so simple. A child can understand this. You may have rode in on a van and you've never been saved. Guess what? He'll touch you. If you'll come to him and just touch him, he'll touch you. Brother Kenny, have you ever seen them saved at 6, 7, 8, 9? Sure you have. You say, well, how many of them get saved at 7? Every one of them that trust and believe in Jesus. You said, you believe prisoners get saved? Every one of them that want it. He said, I'll in no wise cast them out. As Miss Debbie plays today, will you be honest today? As she starts playing, will you be honest today and just take your issue and give it to the Lord? You may not have the same issue this lady did. I pray you don't. But you're dealing with something. You've got your own issue. Don't know what it is, but you've got it. And I would invite you today to come and get it fixed.